welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Blair Oaks Falcons. I'm your host, Tony Hawley. I'm sitting here with Greg Jackson of the News Tribune, and before Greg and I start to bat things back and forth this week, let's listen to a little bit of Greg's conversation with Blair Oaks head coach Ted LePage.
Coach, let's take a quick look back at last week's 35-0 win against Lutheran North. What did you see on film when you had a chance to look back at it after the game?
Well, we saw the click happen on our defense. It was play 26. I can tell you exactly what play it was of the game. And our defense, when I ended this, and I showed him right as we started film, this is where our defense changed. Because when you stopped it, right when the play was stopped, all 11 green shirt jerseys were in the picture within 3 feet of the ball. And I said, it got contagious. Everybody wanted to get to the ball. They really had a desire to fight through blocks, to do different things. I haven't seen that intensity in a while out of our defense. Offensively, it took us a little while. They're very good defense there, and I don't take anything away from our defense. Once we got some momentum going offensively, I thought our offense clicked very well. But we can't wait till the second half in every game. We're going to have to do that. And I thought our special teams played extremely well. So overall, I thought we had a great effort, a lot of things to clean up. But for the most part, a very well-played football game. Both sides of the ball, they played very well, too.
To me, it was maybe the red zone defense that stuck out to me from that game because I believe they got in the red zone three times. There was a turnover on downs at the five. I think there was another turnover on downs. There was the Jake Hagner interception in the end zone. And I think one of the things we talked about off the record after the game was if Lutheran North, when they get that first touchdown, if it came in the first half, who knows how that game turns out. So I felt like the defense played – bend don't break to perfection Friday.
Well, I would like to hope that doesn't come the case every week. But in the first half, it did. Again, I think we were feeling our way through it. Second half, we were like really going after them. And I really liked the way he played defense second half. I really think the turning point, as you talk about in the red zone, and the momentum shift was, of course, the defensive score. But you have to look at the series of events happening there. We had a bad series on offense, so we went backwards. We punted. They had a great return inside our 30. Mm-hmm. We turn around. They get a holding call, push them back 10 yards, which puts them back on about the 40, and then we get a strip sack for a score. That series of events right there, you take it the other way and they do score. I mean, it's a whole nother football game. I'm not saying we didn't get some breaks in the game, but we caused those breaks. And that's what good football teams do. You cause breaks in football games because there's going to be a flow of things that happen that are good and bad. I thought we fought through adversity. And then the big fourth down stop was when they were driving the ball and they got the first down inside the five, and we just turned away with all four downs. That was extremely, extremely impressive out of our defense.
Before you all move into conference play this week, I mean, again, it's a small sample size. You only get the two non-conference games, but you went out and scheduled two very tough teams. If you had to do a quick self-evaluation of the team, what did you like that you've seen in these two wins?
I would think first and foremost the intensity on defense. Yeah, I think we have 11 guys pulling the rope the same way, and there's communication going on. You can see it on the field. I think you probably saw it last week. Last year, our players were content on doing their job because they were just, you know, they want to do their job, and that's not a knock. That was just youth. This year, you can see they're communicating when there was motions, there was exchanges of things going on. So that is a great thing that's happening within our team. Offensively, I think getting more guys involved. You know, our offense, you know, everybody's going to say it revolves around Dylan. Our offensive line's doing a tremendous job. I mean, he's averaging a lot of yards carries. He's not getting touched. You know, he gets in the second level. He's not touched. He's probably gone. So I think that's been a big plus as our offensive line has very been continuous. We've seen great things out of our passing game. We haven't had to use it much. But we do work on it every week. We're expecting better things. Special teams really disappointed the first week of the year. This past week improved. I hope for more and more improvement on our special teams. I thought we did some things really, really good on special teams against Luther North, but then we allowed the punt return and we missed a couple extra points. We gotta shore those up.
And this week's opponent school, the Osage, another home game for y'all. What have you seen from them on film?
Well, this will be our third game against them in seven games. Mm-hmm. This will be their third game against us in five games. Very similar to what we saw last year. extremely big, extremely talented. I think this year they've got off to a little slow start because they didn't have their quarterback and running back week one. They still have been effective offensively. When you turn on the film, our players, our coaches, we've all recognized, you hold your breath because they're a good-looking football team. They're going to figure it out, and they're going to do some really good things this year. Very well coached. It just seems like the ball has not bounced their way. So it's going to be an extremely competitive game. We're excited about it. We were third place in the Tri-County Conference last year, so it's the first Tri-County Conference game we get to come back and try to climb that ladder back to being one of the better teams in the conference.
All right, that was Blair Oaks head coach Ted LePage. And Greg, I'm just going to flat out say this. I didn't see that coming last week. I think I entertained the possibility that Blair Oaks might beat Luther North. I entertained the possibility that Luther North might beat Blair Oaks. I didn't see a 35-0 blanking for Blair Oaks. I just really didn't in any way see that coming. But from the way the game played out, it seems like, you know what, the Falcons came out with a point to prove, and they proved it all game long.
Yeah, especially when you give up 42 points to Maryville in week one. I don't think anybody anticipated a shutout against Lutheran North. By the way, they haven't been shut out since week two of 2009.
So right.
That just shows you how good that program is. The defense, Lutheran North had a handful of drives where they got something between the 20s.
Right.
Credit to Blair Oaks defense. When they got in the red zone, they either came up with a stop or got an interception in the end zone. Offensively, and I'll tell you what, I mean, it was 7-0 at halftime. That one touchdown was a defensive touchdown.
Well, I was going to say, that's something you also got from your defense,
yeah.
Which I don't think we saw coming, was we, you know, defensive score was something where you go, that's always a nice luxury. I didn't really see it, but that was almost a game-defining moment there, where I think it really altered the way some of that first half played out.
It was. I mean, if Luther North gets a score at some point, whether it's, you know, second quarter or late third quarter, it was still a tight game.
Right.
Anything could have happened. Because Blair, I mean, I'll tell you what, even though Blair Oaks was winning 7-0, I would argue at halftime Luther North had played better offense than Blair Oaks.
Correct.
Because, I mean,
correct.
Blair Oaks just couldn't get anything going in the passing game. Dylan Hare had 11 carries for 11 yards, and then he goes off and finishes with 223 yards
right.
at the end of the game. And basically, they just, when we've talked about this for a couple podcasts now, they want to try something different where the offense doesn't rely on Dylan Hare.
Mm-hmm.
But you're playing two really good opponents to start the season.
Sure.
That
he's going to be a difference maker.
He's going to have to be
like
the
that.
Difference maker.
Sure.
So,
yeah.
So I would, before we talk transition to conference play, I think that's where you're going to try to get more out of this new offense or new approach to offense
sure.
as you want. But it's always nice to have, like, hey, Dylan, can you go run for a couple of 50-yard touchdowns for us like he did? I mean, that just really made a big difference on widening the gap. And one of the things Coach LePage emphasize, if you're going to play man defense on us, you know, we are not hesitant to throw the option out
sure.
because I'll take your best guy against Dylan Hare any day and see what happens
right.
because if you try to go on him one-on-one, you miss a tackle, it's game over.
Yeah, sometimes you can overthink things like that and just go, well, we want to make sure we get other people involved. Yes, but you so very rarely get athletes like a Dylan Hare where you go, you know what, don't be too smart and don't talk yourself out of using him, especially in games where you're going to need somebody like that to come up big, and he did. But I also don't want to spend too much time on that because, again, that's not maybe necessarily surprising. Let's talk a little bit about that defense from the fact that they were a little maligned after week one, and we said, well, they're going to have to come up big. Well, you don't come up any bigger than putting up a goose egg. So, you know, good on them, but what did you maybe see differently from week one to week two from the defense, or was it just a matter of they played the way they're capable of playing?
They did a good job of making tackles, not having missed tackles, tackling on the first guy that got there, got the tackle.
Sure, okay.
One of the things Coach LePage emphasized was he mentioned, and I can't remember, he said earlier in the interview, something like play 26 or 27, where he just saw all of a sudden it clicked, and there was a tackle, and you saw all 11 guys right there by the ball, and he's like, that's something we've been trying to preach really ever since the end of the 2020 season with this young defense, and he's like, maybe, you know, obviously you want to see that clicking continue through the rest of the regular season, but I think that's going to be the big test with Osage. I mean, Osage is a team that dropped 43 points on them in the regular season finale last year. So, you know, we've got three options here. Are we going to see week one where you give up 42 points to Maryville? Is that what we're going to see against Osage?
Right.
Option two, are you going to see, a shutout like we saw week two against Luther North, or option three? Are we going to see like somewhere in between where maybe they give up a couple touchdowns, but that's it?
Right.
And I'll be very interested to see which option. I don't think it reverts back to option A. I think option C is probably the most logical thing, because it's hard to pitch shutouts, but if you look at Blair Oaks's state championship teams from 2018 and 2020, they did put up a lot of shutouts, and they played Lutheran North in both those years, and they never shut them out. So you never know. It's small sample size, but that, you know what? That's a sample size worth bragging about.
So you've said it a couple times, but it bears repeating. 7 o'clock today at the Falcon Athletic Complex. You got Osage coming to town. It's an Osage team headed in a different direction right now. They're 0-2. You look at it and go, okay, they lose the season opener 41-19 to Jeff City. You think, okay, I see that one coming. So then I want to spend a little more time with delving into last week, where you go, okay, they lost 43-37 at Moberly. What do we take away from that one? How good do we think maybe Moberly has a possibility to be this year? You know, what do we take away from that game?
It's just if you look, I think they outgained Moberly by close to 150 yards. Moberly just took advantage of big plays.
Okay.
And there were there weren't any long drives. It was just them taking advantage of big plays. Take advantage of a couple of Osage turnovers, taking advantage of Osage special teams miscues. That was a game Osage won last year. And so far, the offense looks much better. And granted, it, of course, it's going to look better because you had your starting quarterback back for Moberly game have Connor Vaughn available for the Jeff City game. I don't think offense has been an issue for Osage, but the defense... 42 points allowed per game, it's going to be very hard to win any games like that.
So I heard you talking about that in the newsroom yesterday, that the fact that, I think it kind of slipped under the radar maybe for the Jeff City game that they were without their quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So they get him back last week, and it looks like it's a little more effective, little bit easier to put up points. How big a piece is he for them this year? What do we think in terms of, how big of an impact is that, and how big of a loss was it maybe to not have him on week one?
The difference was he's going to be more of a running quarterback, not nearly as good as last year's quarterback, Brockton McLaughlin, but, he can throw the ball and he can run the ball, whereas, their week one quarterback, it was his first career start, he's going to be more of a pocket passer.
Okay.
So, with their wing, again, they're a wing T offense under Shannon Jolly, but you know what? Anytime they have a really good quarterback like they've had the past two or three years, you're going to really kind of create an option package out of your wing T offense. You got Jackson Thunderberg who can run the ball well. You've got Aiden Williams who has back-to-back 100-yard rushing performances. Again, offense is not an issue. They've got a big offensive line. The big question for Blair Oaks is, this is a team that you have to do what you did against Lutheran North. You have to find a way to, wrap them up and tackle them at first contact. You can't allow broken tackles to turn into 20 or 25 yard runs. And this is, as we saw in week 9 last year, this is an Osage team that is capable of scoring against Blair Oaks. Will they score enough to keep up with them? Probably not. It's just what's Blair Oaks' defense going to learn? Because, this is the third time these two teams have played in Blair Oaks' last 7 games. They should be familiar with them.
Sure.
What are they going to learn from the week 9 and week 10 games last year? Even though the personnel is slightly different, it's really kind of the same mentality. It's a same look Osage offense.
So I guess the big thing is, you don't want to sound too much like a coach here, but I think this is kind of a good character test for the Falcons from the standpoint of, okay, you're right. Those first 2 weeks were just, slobber knockers. We knew they were going to be really hard games, really easy to get up for games, but it's really easy after 2 games like that to maybe have a natural letdown. The good teams don't do that. So I guess we'll find out just how good a team maybe this or what kind of leadership that the Falcons have amongst the players.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure the coaches will be preaching all week, don't overlook this team, don't let down just because, it's not as glitzy an opponent as maybe the first 2 weeks or a big game atmosphere as the first 2 weeks, but it's still, it's big game, it's conference time, so it's something where you need to get refocused for that. So I think this is going to be one of those games where this will be a good test for them from the standpoint of how much self-starter are you this week? How much can you bring to it right off the bat?
Yeah, in today's goal line story, I think the first thing I led off with, because Coach LePage didn't shy away from mentioning, he's like, we finished third in the Tri-County Conference last year after winning 6 straight conference titles. You know, to answer what you're, I don't think they're really going to take it for granted, because I think they're annoyed that they were the team last year that let that conference title streak in. The takeaways I want to see from this game offensively for Blair Oaks, you know, Dylan Hare has he already has 500 plus rushing yards this season. Can Hayden Lackman, you know, he's a freshman, he's only got two starts under his belt, but he's been consistent. He's gotten between 50 and 65 yards rushing. Is this a game where he's able to get a couple of long runs, maybe get that first 100-yard rushing game? And my other takeaway is the passing game I thought took a huge step backward from week one to week two. I mean, they threw for 250 yards against Maryville and had a couple of nice long touchdown passes. But we didn't really see a whole lot out of the passing game. I mean, Dylan Hare was just 4 of 9 passing and started the game 0 for 4. And they've got some good receivers. It's it's one of those things where I think it's been like, if I remember, I think it was kind of a similar thing last year where it's just going to take a few games for them to get on the same page. Is this the game where they finally do get on the same page? And do you focus more on the passing game? Because you can't, you can't rely on Dylan's legs the whole season. You can't rely on Hayden to carry the ball 20, 25 times per game. You've got to find a way to have success in the passing game. So I think we're going to find out if week two was one of those flukes where you just ran into a good Lutheran North secondary, or if they were just having an off night.
Well, and I do think it bears mentioning, too, you know, I got to watch the first half of that game against Luther North, and I will say their pass rush was pretty darn good, and it did not give them much time to set up. So that's the sort of thing where you go, yes, you know, maybe there is some problems, but if it's something where you don't maybe see an elite pass rush like that every week, where I feel like there was just not a whole lot of time for, you know, to take more than maybe a three-step drop at most and have to get it out real quick. So, you know, that's the sort of thing where you go, credit them a little bit, too, for disrupting that from the standpoint. That may not be something you're going to have a problem with you know, the every other teams on your schedule. It's just maybe that was something that last week was just a superior rush, and you had some troubles of handling it. So.
Yeah, it would not surprise me if they come out and try to show that they could throw the ball in the first quarter. Maybe not like do it constantly from start to finish.
Sure.
But I think that's one of the things that because you've got some good receivers with Alec Weberg and Nick Closter and Adam Hall and Joey Wilde, and but up until I think maybe last completion that Dylan had in that Lutheran North game, the only players that had catches so far this season were either Adam or Nick. I think Alec finally got his first catch, and Joey's waiting for his first catch. So really, I think this is going to be one of those games. Do we see him throw the ball about 20, 25 times? Which, again, it's been weird watching the past two games because Maryville threw the ball 33 times and Lutheran North threw it 32 times.
Right.
And Blair Oaks, I don't even think Dylan Hare has attempted 30 passes yet this year.
Would have thought that might have been the other way around. All right, I guess that gets us to the prediction point of the podcast. And how do you see this one playing out tonight?
I do think Osage will get a few big touchdowns. Long touchdown runs or passes. And that's something that Blair Oaks is also really watching out for, because they will lull you to sleep with the run and the wing tee, and then you get a Hunter Graber that they'll just dink and dunk and let him kind of run the ball in. But this Osage defense just hasn't shown me that they can consistently they haven't shown me that they can get enough stops to win a game. I really think this is a game where Boros comes out and wins, let's say 56-21.
All right, that should do it for this week. For Greg Jackson, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Greg Jackson on Twitter at ActionJackson05. That's Action JAXON05. Thanks for listening.